Good morning, family. How are you doing today? I'm really glad to be here, and I'm happy to see new faces. For the ones that don't know me, I'm Pastor Ben, and I'll be glad to help you in any way possible. I just like to make two brief announcements before we start our program today. The first had to do with from our family. We want to express our gratitude for a basket of food that you present to us. This is something quite new to us. What is the name for this? Okay. And, right. So we never experienced this. And thank you so much for thinking about us and giving us your love. And also, I want to mention on behalf of my son, Chris, he's here and he's the one hiding right now. He's going to Mount Pisgah. And we are praying that he got a good experience there in Mount Pisgah Academy, that he can continue learning about God and growing. And for that reason, if you don't see him, it's because he's in academy. So he asked me to mention that. So please keep him in your prayers that he can do well in working and studying there among Pisgah. Let's have a small word of prayer before we begin today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to ask you to help us to grow in you and to trust in you no matter what. Lord, now that we are open to Scripture, we want to ask you to give us your Holy Spirit so we can be inspired and refreshed by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to think about an old man in the top of this mountain, looking at this beautiful valley, looking at the distance, the pines, the rivers, and seeing this beautiful land. And right there in the solitude of this mountain, this old man is crying. He has been serving God for many years. When he was a young man, he wanted to help, and he ended up killing someone. So because of this crime, he had to run away, go to the desert. And after many years of being wandering at the desert, when he thought that his life was over, at the age of 80 years, God called him again into ministry. And you probably will think that somebody at the age of 80 years old is in time to retire. That is not much energy left to start doing ministry, much less to helping others. Probably you feel the same way today, and you are not even 80 yet. In occasions we feel like tired, right? We don't have more energy. And this old man seeing this beautiful land and crying there alone, then he remembered that the circumstances that brought him there were serious. I want you to please open your Bibles in the book of Numbers. And let's read the story according to what happened there. Numbers chapter 20. That's how our story begins today. The Bible says in Numbers 20, verse 1, this: Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Sin in the first month. And the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation. So they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, If only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why had you brought us here into this wilderness that we and our animals should die here? And why had you made come up from Egypt to bring us to this evil? It is no a better place of grain, of figs, of wines, and pomegranates. Now there is a water to drink. So Moses and Aaron went into the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of the meeting, and they fell on their faces, and they give glory to the Lord, and the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take the rod that you have in your brother and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, and speak to the rock before their eyes, and they will yield water. Thus the rod and give you to drink to the congregation and to the animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, "Hear how you rebellious, must we bring you water for out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. I want you to stop for a moment here. One of the things that we need to realize always is that sin had consequences, and we don't like to deal with consequences. We prefer to confess our sins and escape without any payment, right? However, some circumstances can be challenging. It can be difficult for people. In this case, the people was really thirsty. I don't know if you experienced a circumstance in your life when you feel that you don't have food or you don't have water. How that made you feel? When you pray to God and nothing happened. You are asking for food and there's no food. You are asking for something to support your family and there's nothing there. Have you been in a circumstance like that? Have you ever been angry with God? Frustrated with God? After serving him and helping and going and doing a lot of things for others, why he doesn't take care of you? If God can provide for everybody, why he can't provide for you? Many years ago, as a teenager, growing in my faith, I experienced something that is quite sad. You see, we like to hear in church experience about people praying and having also answers from praying, right? This story is not about that. This is a kind of different story. So be prepared, okay? I remember that Saturday, it was quite hot. And again, I didn't have enough money to pay for the bus, for the service. So my mom gave me only to go to the church, but that's all they have. You know, they didn't have more money. So I was happy, go to church and enjoy the program. And then after the program, like every church, you know what happened when the program ends? Everybody start walking out. You had your friends and your cliques. And if you are a new one, what happened to you? Hey, nobody pay attention to you. You know, you are a nobody. You know, you don't have friends. So pretty much left alone. No invitations or anything. So I decided I need to go home. And my house was probably like around 7 miles, maybe. Quite a distance. It was half, middle of the day. And I started walking and I started sweating. And then I remember, well, God said if you pray, he will help you. So what I need right now is money to pay for my bus, my transportation. So I get in this corner and start praying, God, please help me. I need the money for going home. I don't want to walk. And you know what happened, right? Nothing happened. I start walking home. And the more I think, the more angry I was becoming. Like, what is going on here? You know, I'm asking you for a small favor. You can't do anything and it's just less than 50 cents. You can even provide that for me? And I'm telling you this because a big lesson was in there for me. And you need to get the lesson too. In occasions we pray to God with a lot of faith, but that doesn't mean that God will answer the way that you're praying. And you need to be prepared for that. Why? I think it's because God has a different vision, picture than what we do. Have you noticed that it depends on where are you located, it's your vision? For instance, here I can see you completely, but if I go there, I had a more perfect vision of the whole congregation. It is a matter of perspective, where I am located, where I am situated. Well, I think praying with God is almost the same. It depends on where are you in your life and your relationship with God and how much you trust him. You remember the story that is mentioned in Daniel when his friends were sent to this big oven on fire? I like this guy's response. Because what they say to the king was, listen, we won't worship this statue. We know that God can have power to save us. But if he decides not to save us, hey, we are okay with that. How do you feel about that kind of prayer? God, I need this. If you can provide for this, that will be amazing. But if you say no to me, I understand. I continue believing in you. I continue trusting in you. And I know that you are a good God. Even when you don't answer the way I am expecting. So the people there at the desert, when kids and animals and the congregation start getting irritated and aggravated because they didn't have water. And it doesn't take a lot of imagination to do that. I'm actually being grateful when God, because the last 2 days, have you noticed what's going on? We had this little break in the middle of the summer, and instead of being always hot, then suddenly it's really pleasant and beautiful. I know it's a little cloud outside, but it feels great. It is not hot, it's not muggy, it's just perfect. And I'm enjoying this for at least for today, because I am expecting heat tomorrow. But right there in the middle of the summer, God gave us these blessings. You just need to pay attention to these details. So the people was there, and they were angry, and of course they brought their accusation against Moses. Moses, where is God? Why he didn't provide to us? He promised that he will give us what we need. So why is no water? So it seems like God is always testing us, right? He gives you, but enough for one day. He doesn't give you for many days. Why? Can he give us for like the whole time and we don't have to continue asking? Well, it's precisely because of that. Our necessities is the way how God caught our attention. When you confront issues with your health, when you have problems with finances, when you feel that your friends abandoned you, when you had issues in your home with your spouse, then is when God have an opportunity to talk to you. Because otherwise, we don't care about God. We are fine. In my happy life, in my own world, you know, everything is doing well. I have a nice job. I have plenty of money. I'm healthy. What do you need God for? And out of the blue, something happened, and you get sick, and then you remember, oh, I need to pray, right? I need to go back to God. And I think that's what God was trying to teach the kids, the people of Israel here. You need to constantly depend on me. Rely on me. So it's no water. Moses get worried because the people was getting really angry. And you know, when you have a big group of people and they start getting angry, then you need to pay attention to that, you know. So he go to church and he start praying with his brother. And God give the answer. What was the answer? Tell me here, what was God's answer? Take the rod. I don't know why. I take the rod. Go in front of the rock and I start talking to the rock. Makes a lot of sense, right? Come on. How do you feel talking to rocks? Quite stupid, right? I remember as a kid walking in my neighborhood, and I was telling some of my friends the other day that I had this bad habit of talking to myself always, you know, like being in my own world and talking. And then people start looking at me like, what this kid is doing? Like, are you nuts? Are you crazy? Because normally people don't talk to themselves, right? Talk to someone else. Oh, well, I understand that. But normally you don't talk to yourself. You always talk to someone else in there, unless you are praying in a loud voice. But I didn't know about that. And I remember I used to talk a lot, and then people look at me and kind of make fun of me, and then I decide, you know, it's time to change. I need to stop doing this, otherwise they will think I'm crazy. But God is telling Moses to do something amazing. He said, go and talk to this rock, and the rock will give you water. So Moses comes with his brother, and in front of the whole congregation, and he starts doing this amazing speech. Listen, people, we have problems, but God will provide. I think that's amazing. You know, he was so confident that God will respond. And then after he did this little sermon, he just missed one little detail. Instead of talking to the rock, he hit the rock with his rod, and the water started coming out. That's it. He hit it twice. And you know what? That had consequences for Moses.
terrible consequences.
In fact, God gets so angry with Moses that he said to Moses and to Aaron, you will not enter in the promised land. And he can't understand why. I sacrificed my life. I give up everything for you. I'm being in this desert for more than 40 years, enduring this congregation that they despise me, they hate me. There's no way to quit. And that's how you pay me back? You see, that's how we feel in occasions with God. We feel it's a big disappointment because we don't see, we can't understand. So, let's go back to Scripture because I want to share something else with you. And I forgot my Bible here. Open your Bibles in Deuteronomy 3. And the Bible tells us something interesting here. Deuteronomy number 3. No. Deuteronomy number 3. John, please help my friend Lee here. All right. Lee, in this part of the story, Moses do something interesting that you need to at least understand. Let's go to verse 26. Well, let's start in verse 25. I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains of Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough! That's a serious response from God. So what God say? Be quiet. I don't want to hear from you anymore. This topic is out of discussion. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you beg. You are not going there. And keep in mind that Moses was talking directly to God. He had a blessing. So God was displeased and he let him know. You're not going there. So stop praying. And let's keep reading. Speak no more to me on this matter. Go up to Pisgah and lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south, and the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over the Jordan. And that was the final answer. So stop whining and begging and crying. You are not going there. It was a difficult thing for Moses. When you read the book of Deuteronomy, you find that the last 5-6 chapters of the book are instructions to the people. You know that God had a plan for you. And let's go to chapter 32 in the same book, Deuteronomy 32. And I want to show you something else here that I think is important. Thank you for helping me here. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and let's go to the last part of the book. Verse 48. Then the Lord spoke to Moses that very day, saying, go up this mountain of the Abarim, Mount Nebo, which is the land of Moab, and across from Jericho, view the land of Canaan, and die on the mountain which you will ascend, and be gathered to your people, just as Aaron, your brother, died in Mount Hor. Now, stop for a moment here. If you visit your doctor, I'm pretty sure that you want to hear good news, right? Everything is fine, your cholesterol level is okay, you probably need to do some exercise because the triglycerides or something with the sugar. But if your doctor tells you, listen, buddy, I got bad news for you. You have a week to die, to live, and you will die. How that make you feel? That's quite scary, right? Like, yeah, I don't want to hear that kind of news. Now, think about Moses having this conversation with God again. And God explained to him, listen, you need to go to the mountain. You go there, you will see the land, and after that, you will die. So Moses knew the moment that he started climbing that mountain, that he was encountering what? His death. And he was certain that that would happen because he knew God. And God, when he says something will happen, it will happen. So I just want you to picture this old man climbing this mountain alone, crying, leaving his family, his kids, and everybody who was something for him behind. And knowing that when he get there to the top, the only thing that he will get in reward is death. How that made you feel? Are you interested in keep worshiping God? Are you interested in working for God? Look how he paid to his servants. Very interesting, right? Chapter 34 in the same book of Deuteronomy, because that's the last details. In fact, the book wasn't finished by Moses. It is possible that Joshua finished the book. But in verse 2, in the last chapter of this book, I'm sorry, I want you to focus in verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, opposite to Baal Peor. But no one knows his grave until this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. And that's the end. That's it. So if I tell you, brothers and sisters, go home and have a happy life after this awesome sermon, how you will go today? You probably will say, I will expect like a big mob outside waiting for me today. That's the most disappointing and depressing sermon ever. You know, that's how God pays to his people. And that's the most amazing lesson in this story. That God has something always more interesting for us. You will find the last pieces of the story, and one of these is in the New Testament. Go to the book of Jude. Jude is a small book in the New Testament. Had only one chapter, as before Revelation. And I want you to read with me verse 9. Jude, verse 9. And this part of the story will help you understand the rest. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not to bring against him a prevailing accusation, but say, "The Lord rebuke you." And that's it. That's all it is. So what is this verse telling us? Well, it's telling us several details. Number one, after Moses died, something happened, right? Somebody come from heaven. Who was the person? Michael. Michael is mentioned in the Bible in several times. In fact, we believe that Michael is a title for Jesus in the Old Testament. You find Michael in Daniel. You find Michael again in Revelation. Michael the archangel. Jesus before the incarnation. That's what we believe. Now, Michael is coming from heaven, and he's disputing with whom? With Satan. Why? Why over the body? Well, it's simple. Because every single sinner deserves what? To die. Where do you find that in the Bible? Romans 6:23. Right? The pay of the sin is what? Death. So we all are under the power of whom? Death. Because we commit sin. And that's Moses' case. He committed a sin. And because of that, he was dying right there in the mountain alone. He didn't see what was going on. He didn't know what was happening. The only thing that he knew was that he was dying there. Now, from heaven, God had another plan for him. He sent this archangel and started disputing for the body of Moses. Why God need the body? If people, when they die, go through heaven, why God need to send an angel to fight for a body? Well, it's simple, because when you die, you don't go to heaven. You stay in a tomb resting there. And that's what happened to dead people. They're sleeping in the ground until God called you. So God sent his angel and he started arguing with Satan. Satan saying, "You cannot take in heaven. He's a sinner." And the angel say, "Well, God will take care of you. And let me take you to heaven, because that's our business." So the story changed.
Can you imagine Moses opening his eyes now? Instead of seeing the promised land, now he's seeing heaven. You see, our vision from life is limited because we are limited by time. Our picture is always connected with our years, our experience, the people that surround us. But God can see the whole picture. He knows the beginning, He knows the end, and He knows what is best for you and for me. And this man in this story, at least in this case, God has something better for Moses than the promised land. God had heaven. You will take that for this land. In a blink of an eye, I would say, yes, take me too. You know, I don't mind. Well, that's the deal that is God proposing to you too. You know, when we close our eyes, it's no assurance. It's only your faith that He will resurrect you. That's it. I think the story of Moses is amazing, because then you find Moses again in the New Testament, now with a different perspective. Let's go to Luke 9. Let's Luke 9, and this is the last part of the story. And I think this will, like, I know you will like this part. At least to me, that was amazing. Luke 9, 28 and 31. What I want to read to you is mentioned in the four Gospels. Actually, it's not mentioned in John, it's mentioned in Mark, Luke, and Matthew. And this part of the story gives us a little more detail. Luke 9, verse 28 through 31. What is mentioned here in Luke is that Jesus, before He died, He took three of His disciples and go alone to a mountain. You remember that experience? Remember that? And in that mountain, the gospel say that two people appeared to Him. One was Elijah, and the other person was who? Elijah was translated through heaven in a chariot of fire. And now you understand why Moses is in heaven, right? Why? Because Michael come down to air and fight for his body and take it to heaven. You know, that's the explanation. That's why he's there. Now, in Luke 9, you find the rest of the story. 9, 28, 31. And let's read it together. Now, it came to pass about 8 days after this sayings that he took Peter, John, and James, and he went up into the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robes became white and gleaming, and behold, two men talked to him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. So what was the reason of the conversation? What Moses and Elijah had to talk to Jesus? Well, about his death, about what happened to him in a few weeks after that. So what God was doing here is trying to explain Jesus that he will have a terrible death, a horrible death, but that he need to be strong, to have faith, to have courage. Now, who will be better to explain that to Jesus than Moses? He go through that. He experienced death himself. He didn't know that he was being to be resurrected. So can you imagine Moses trying to encourage Jesus and saying, Jesus, God is faithful and he will deliver you from that. He did it for me. You know, when you read the Gospels and you read the story and what happened to Jesus and how God finally resurrected him and bring him to life, then you realize that we have an awesome God. So let's go back to our question at the beginning. What happens when God doesn't answer our prayers? Is it because He doesn't care? Is it because He doesn't love you? Is it because He's busy? I just want to think that God had a better plan. His vision is more complete. He has something better for you and for me. For us, it's difficult to see because we are limited. But that requires something that is called faith. And it's my wish and my prayer that God help you to grow in faith and to trust God. Because horrible things happen to people. And we are not excluded. You know, horrible things can happen, and especially in this world. Things that we can imagine to happen, they are happening. Can happen to your family, can happen to you. But remember, when you get in the middle of the crisis, when you are alone and nobody's there, and it seems like God forgot you, that God cared for you. When somebody dies and people ask you, where is God? God is right there with you. In the moment of the pain, the moment of suffering. So please remember that during this week. I want to think that somebody that may be angry with God, because he feels disappointed, remember, he eventually will do better for you. So let's have a moment of prayer now. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this story of Moses. Because through that story, you remind us that although things they don't always work in the way that we expected, you provide for us. And that you always do the best for us. So bless us today with your power. In Jesus' name. Amen.